NFL Not Sunday with Ryan Hannibal, the ultimate football podcast. Let's get started with NFL Not Sunday. Now here's Ryan Hannibal.
Welcome to a special edition of the Not Sunday podcast, which could be going away soon. We'll see how things shake out. But we have a new guest in here, a new guy in town. Not in town, but in this building. Andy Hart, welcome.
Rebranding, I think, is the term. It's not going away. It's going to be repackaged, maybe rebranded.
I like that, rebranded.
I was thinking the Andy Hart podcast, but we can talk about it
with,
as we go.
With Ryan Hannibal? Or...
Yeah, I need somebody here to push buttons and start and stop and ins and outs.
Hart and Hannibal kind of sounds decent.
It's not terrible.
It's a start.
Maybe we'll take suggestions. Email them to Ryan at whatever his email is.
Yeah.
Names, ideas, yep. Thoughts.
Open anything.
The Ultimate Patriots Podcast, football podcast, whatever you want to call it.
But, all right, welcome. So
Thank you. You
left Patriots.com.
I did.
And are now, as of today,
officially
a full-time WEI
it's employee. Not Sunday. It's Monday, and I'm in the building.
Yep.
Well, I don't know if I've signed any paperwork with HR yet, but I can do that later.
But you're here.
Yes, and I'm ready to go. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it.
What are, I guess let's start with, a few questions for you.
Okay.
What's getting deep into the mind of Andy Hart?
I don't know that you want to go there. A lot of weird stuff.
Why did you want to leave? Why did you want to join WEI?
I would say new challenge, new experience. Been with the Patriots since college. Started there in the PR department and then moved over to the Patriots Football Weekly, Patriots.com, Patriots Unfiltered, world of radio, TV, and writing. And have been doing that for almost two decades. And I thought it was a good time, good offer to come here and maybe take the next step. And I personally hope that I can be part of sort of improving this station's website, this station's on-air
yep.
Shows, and helping lift it in its competition with the unnamed competition that used to be across the street. And I think fans want more from Boston sports media, and certainly you and I will be focusing, at least in the beginning, on the Patriots coverage, and then I'll be branching off into more general columnist, I think,
right.
At times. But I personally think you and I can bring some of the best Patriots coverage in Boston to the website.
Wow, thank you.
I do.
I agree.
I think you are one of the best nuts and bolts reporters on the beat in terms
appreciate
of making
it.
Sure your blog is updated with everything and anything that yep. revolves around the Patriots. I think you take pride in that. I think you work very hard at that. That's stuff I don't want to do, so that's great for our little partnership.
We already worked some things out that you
no
like.
No question.
Yep.
And I think I like to do some other stuff in terms of analysis of the team and camp coverage and draft coverage and bring a little different perspective. So I'm looking forward to all of that. I'll have my first shift this week doing the morning show. So I'll be doing various morning shows and
yep.
midday shows as we evolve and go on here, fill in the summer and various time slots. I'm looking forward to it.
So you're going to be doing a little bit of everything, but
yep.
but with a focus on the website, obviously, and the Patriots.
Yes.
And then just, you know, some shifts here and there and see how things go.
And right now I'm putting out an olive branch or extending my arm to some of our listeners globally.
Okay.
Coming from Patriots.com, obviously the Patriots are a very popular team, not just in the United States, but globally, Europe, Asia, Africa, South America, Central America. And I know some of our listeners have issues getting the content from Europe in particular.
Yes.
But as the podcasts go up on iTunes, that's how you can listen to us.
Yes.
That is the most direct route. So go to iTunes, download whether it's a show I'm on if you want to listen to me.
Subscribe to WEI Podcast.
Exactly. And then you can listen. I don't care if you listen when anyone else is on or podcasting or talking, just as long as you listen to me. If you are a fan of Patriots Unfiltered, PFW in Progress, that family. So that's the best way. Subscribe to WEI Podcasts and you can get my beautiful voice whenever I'm on.
One more you related question.
I like me related questions.
What are some things you're looking forward to writing about the Patriots that maybe you couldn't at your old employer?
Well, I will say there wasn't a lot, and I praise the Krafts, Jonathan and Robert Kraft, and my boss Fred Kirsch for this. There wasn't a lot that was off limits, and certainly nothing football related was off limits.
Okay.
You know, we were very critical at times, certainly to anyone who listened to PFW in Progress over the years.
Knows that you and Paul and
right.
Fred aren't, well,
you
not,
know,
not really Fred, but.
I've had, not really Fred, no. He's sort of the Homer, the footy pajamas guy, but Paul and I, at various times, and nothing was scripted, nothing was planned, but just various things annoyed us, or we thought were wrong or bad, and I say bad relative to the Patriots.
Right.
Because bad for the Patriots is they go to the AFC title game. Bad year, they lose it. Good year, they go to the Super Bowl. Great year, they win the Super Bowl. That's the world we've lived in for basically a decade here and the better part of two decades with Brady and Belichick. But we had the ability to be critical. And, you know, so, you know, I would hearken back to 4th and 2. We were as critical as anyone. Mm-hmm. Or the AFC title game in 06 when Eric Alexander makes his first career start in an AFC title game. Forever, I've dubbed that one of Bill Belichick's greatest blunders to throw a guy into a starting job. And I think Bill was okay with that. We've had talks with him over the years that football is that comes with the job. There's going to be some criticism. So I don't think any of that.
What about written stuff?
Yeah, I think written probably a little more of what I would say on PFW in Progress, because over the years, for whatever reason, we were more critical in terms of radio than we were in terms of the written content on Patriots.com. Some of that is because guys like Mike Florio, for example, don't really understand how the business works, and they believe something written on Patriots.com, even if it's under column analysis, they believe that's the team talking. They don't understand. They're not smart enough to understand.
They look too far into things than they really are.
Like Patriots Football Weekly's depth chart. Ooh, that's the Patriots depth chart. No, it isn't. It says right at the top, Patriots Football Weekly's depth chart. Patriots Football Weekly's made up of writers who decide what they see and what they think is the depth chart.
Right.
But a lot of people weren't smart enough or aware enough to understand those things. But no, I will be giving you my football opinion. You know, we've been bandying about ideas for content as we move forward and what we're going to do. And will there be report cards? Will there be Stockwatch post game things I used to do, some things I did on Patriots.com, or we did mailbags where I gave you my opinion. If I thought a guy stunk, if I thought a rookie had no future with the team, I told you that. Now I always try to back it up with examples or practice observations.
You're not just throwing stuff against the wall.
Not he sucks, he stinks, I'll save that for the other station where people suck and they stink and then they go on to help carry the team into a postseason and a Super Bowl title. Fair coverage is what I would like to say from an admittedly probably cynical, negative New Englander, Boston.
That's what I like.
Massachusetts
born. I think that's
born.
That's sort of what I am as well, and I think that's why we will get along well together.
Well, and I will say, I think we can talk about it on here. Mike Felger, who is on the other station, has always enjoyed the fact, whether we do shows with him on his radio station or on NBC Sports Boston at night, that two of the most negative reporters on the
supposedly
Patriot beat were the Patriots.com reporters.
Right.
The ones who had the most critical eye. And I'm a big believer, just go with where your instincts take you. If something smells funny, if something doesn't really compute quite right, there's probably a story there, or there's probably a little something going on there. That's how we've always treated it, and I will continue to treat it just for a different paycheck. LRC, lower right corner, as Mr. Kraft says.
RKK will not be signing your checks anymore.
Who does sign them? What does it say? Just Entercom or something?
I'm just a direct deposit guy, so I don't think I've actually physically ever seen one of my checks.
Who is the boss of all bosses?
David Field is the...
Okay, David Field.
Yes.
So I will not be criticizing him.
No.
I'll stay away from certain names. John Henry, I feels like a guy I will stay away from directly criticizing.
Yep.
I don't think that's gone well for some people around here. Robert Kraft, I will not be directly criticizing all that often, if at all.
No?
I don't think I need to do that.
James Devlin?
I'll leave that for you.
James Devlin?
James Devlin is a great human being and arguably one of the top 10 fullbacks to ever play the game.
All right, let's get into some Patriots stuff.
I'm actually really excited about minicamp.
Well, you missed
which is weird, yeah.
You missed the last OTA session because you were vacationing in Punta Cana.
There's been very limited access this offseason, and I missed the actual access that took place because I was...
There wasn't really much.
Well, but you still saw something.
Something.
You guys were all raving about Harry because he could catch the ball.
I know.
That was
the standout from my perspective, which wasn't even saying much because of who he was catching passes from.
And how he was doing it. Shorts?
Oh, yeah.
And a shirt?
Agreed.
I can tell you, as a decent, not great high school football player, the practices you had with no pads on and no helmets on or just like jogging around out there, even I could catch as a lame fullback. You know, that's the easiest time to catch. I believe Chad Jackson looked good in OTAs and minicamp. And we all know how Chad Jackson's career played.
My example of recently is Jake Polisser. How many last two summers and springs we've raved about how he's the next, big thing.
I don't want to be negative, but Harry has done nothing yet. And the one thing I will say about Harry that I'm excited to see is Harry catch passes from TB12, the GOAT.
Not at the house in Brookline?
Not for a PR stunt, not for an Instagram post, not for any of that crap. Actually running routes with two or three other receivers, 7-on-7, whatever it is, in a, I know Bill doesn't like the word competitive environment.
It's
a teaching camp, not an evaluation camp. But we'll be evaluating. We'll be watching him run routes. And you know what? Everybody else does, too. I don't know if you saw there was a clip that made the rounds on Twitter and Instagram of the big fast receiver that was supposed Metcalf.
Yep.
And somebody said, wow, look how fast he gets off the line. He's like a motocross bike doing a hole shot. And then Artrell Hawkins, former NFL DB, chimed in with, yeah, except for the fact that it takes him five steps to slow down and make a cut. This is just shorts running a route in camp. But that's an NFL DB saying, I see something there that gives me reason to have pause.
Right.
Or maybe the flip side. Wow, look how quick he stopped and broke out of that cut. We'll all be doing that. And I like that because now we're back to football. None of the other crap.
Right. So what are your what are you looking for most? Where are your eyes going to be?
One and two will be Brady and Harry and those guys working together. Certainly, you've already begun the process of Joe Tooney taking reps at left tackle.
You think there's anything to that?
Yeah.
You do?
Because I think they signed Veld here to start at left tackle early in the year. I think there might be some concerns about the readiness of Isaiah Wynn, your first-round pick from a year ago, the torn Achilles. He's been on the field, sort of, but hasn't really been on the field.
He was not present at the OTA session open to the media, but then there were some
photos
surfaced
of
him being at the earlier ones.
Right. But Dante Scarnecchia talked about him not really being on the field yet.
Yep.
And so there's concern there, and I think the team showed you that by giving Veld here some money.
Yep.
He didn't sign a veteran minimum nothing deal before he decided to retire. I think just sort of connecting the dots, I think there was probably an expectation from the Patriots that he may have to start some games. Maybe that's your September starter or whatever until Wynn is ready. Well, you've lost that now. What's the next best option? It looks like maybe the next best option is Joe Tooney, who was an all-conference left tackle at NC State, playing left tackle for a little bit. And I actually think that's an interesting Band-Aid. Well, I think it benefits two parties. You are looking for a left tackle. You trust him. He is in the final year of his contract. Maybe he shows the ability to play tackle and or left tackle in the NFL, and suddenly his contract goes through the roof.
Right.
So that's a win-win for everybody involved, but I'll be watching, you know, things like that.
So do you think that's an underplayed storyline, is Isaiah Wynn's readiness for week one? Like, I would just say that as a whole, the coverage of the Patriots has Isaiah Wynn penciled in as the week one starter.
I think they do. And I think right now there are some little smoke signals that maybe that's a little premature. And then you add on to that the fact that last year they brought in Trent Brown to be a left tackle. Hadn't really been a left tackle, was going to compete with Isaiah Wynn. That never happened.
Right.
He slid into the slot as of basically July 29th or whatever
the
date was.
Achilles.
And that was it. And I think people are like, well, it worked out last year. Dante Scarnecchia will find somebody. Whoever's in there will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's not always true.
Right.
And you see a lot of teams where they lose a left tackle or they have issues at left tackle, and the entire season goes down the crapper. Places like New York and Seattle, where suddenly you're talking about why do quarterbacks look bad, why do quarterbacks look old, because their offensive line stinks, and a lot of times when the left tackle spot is part of that. But everybody, it worked so well last year. Nate Solder left. Trent Brown came in. Trent Brown was great. Trent Brown went and got $60 million.
Right.
We're just going to slide X in there, and he'll be fine because Dante's the greatest, which I happen to agree with. But I don't just assume because he's the greatest. It's like Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time, and there have been some years in his career where he didn't have receivers, and it didn't play out as well as it would have had he had more talent around him. I'd say the same thing about Scar. If Joe Tooney can't play left tackle in the NFL, they might have a problem. Isaiah Wynn's the same question.
Right.
Even though he's a left tackle, he's a guard, whatever, he's at, blah, 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 there's still a question as an unproven player. Either way, could be playing left tackle, whether it's Isaiah Wynn, a first-round pick with short arms but talent, or Joe Tooney, an established veteran who's an established veteran at guard, even though he has a left tackle background. So I think that's a major question. Certainly all the receivers, the tight ends, that whole depth chart, how you're going to find out, how you're going to replace those catches, Rob Gronkowski, all of that, every ball that's in the air, I think, is worth watching.
So we'll go there. Receivers. What's your thought there? Are you a believer of, like, I think there's a lot that could happen and a lot of question marks. Obviously, Edelman is penciled in, locked in as number one. You would want N'Keal Harry to be number two.
Yep.
But you don't really know that yet.
But he needs to be.
Correct. And then after that, besides Philip Dorsett, you really don't know what you have. And even him, you don't really know what you have.
Do you add sound bites to this in post, or how's that work?
No.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
So I can't get the "I'm just wild about Harry"?
No.
You haven't heard that from
maybe
the
down the road, but
okay.
No.
Pretend you just heard that from, I don't know, Judy Garland in the 20s or whatever. No, I think Julian Edelman is obviously Julian Edelman, although at some point, you know, everybody wants to talk about a Brady Cliff. I think the slot receiver position over the years has shown that it can have every bit of cliff as a quarterback. Probably a bigger cliff that comes on faster and falls harder. So with Julian Edelman, you're really relying on him. You have to include James White in the passing game as probably your second most reliable option right now behind Julian Edelman.
That's fair.
And then good luck, Tom. Good luck, Josh. Find a way. Run it more. You know, there's a lot of issues there, and I don't have anybody that I'm really willing to bank on right now.
Besides Edelman, or at all?
Edelman. Oh, yeah, I'm fine with Edelman. I'm not just going to assume he's going to fall off the map and stink all
of a
sudden.
Like, right now, as we sit here on June 3rd, the only locks to make the team are probably Edelman and Harry.
That is probably...
Like, Dorsett probably will, but he could potentially get cut.
I think Inman is probably pretty close to
I'm not there on him. He was not impressive at all in that OTA
But he's an
session.
NFL receiver.
But he didn't seem like he was...
I'm going to throw it out there. You got to keep somebody.
For sure.
So who are you keeping? Braxton Berrios?
Right now...
Demaryius Thomas, who everybody said, ooh, look, he looks like he's running well. He did, because he looked like I could have been competitive running next to him.
If you're my early... What I would do right now is I would put Demaryius Thomas on PUP and only keep four receivers.
Because he tore in December?
December.
Okay. So that's a massively quick turnaround if he's ready to go in camp.
Even if you're going to try to get him to that point, he's old. He's not young.
No.
And it's his second time tearing the Achilles.
And he has some issues catching the football.
Yes.
Like, he's not
the Demaryius Thomas of old.
Even the Demaryius Thomas of old dropped the ball a lot.
The Patriots did very well against him.
And he has to build that rapport with Tom Brady, and dropping the football is not a good way to build a rapport with Tom Brady.
And not being around the first half of the season is also not very good.
Right, so you don't have OTAs. You may or may not have anything in training camp early.
Right.
So now we're going to build a rapport on the run with a guy who's... competitive fight has been questioned, and his ability to just flat out catch the football when it hits him in the hands. I used to call him Hoof Hands when he was with the Broncos.
Doesn't have good hands.
Forever. So that's not an obvious fit. That's why I feel like if you're just going to bank on a rookie and Edelman, Inman is next in line.
Maurice Harris?
Maybe. I put Inman ahead of him. If we're going to rank him, it would definitely go Edelman, Harry, Inman.
Over Dorsett?
I don't love Dorsett. He's going to make the team because they like him. I have just never really been.
I mean, I just look at his production last year. He had that stretch where he caught 16 straight passes thrown his way.
Great. For how many yards? 7?
He was a guy that.
What was his yards per catch?
Not great.
Not great. Single digits.
But I just think
he didn't finish that way, it was that way for a while.
But he seemed like a guy that Brady, you know, somewhat trusted.
Oh, I think he trusts him. Does he do anything? And I know, don't send the emails. Do they send emails to this podcast? Do you have like an account?
No, sorry. This is your old place.
What is going on
here?
We're
on Twitter.
How do people get in touch with us?
Twitter.
Just Jumbo Hart?
Yep.
At Jumbo Hart.
Yeah, you're going to change your Twitter name?
No. Why?
Not add like WEI?
No. I didn't add Patriots. They wanted me to be PFW Andy like Paul, and I said, no, I'm Jumbo Hart.
Interesting. What's Fred?
Fred Kirsch.
Oh, so he can do his way.
I'm my own entity. That way when I leave, I don't have to change anything.
Right.
If I leave.
Good point.
I'm here for the long haul, but let's just say I wasn't. If I got a better offer, I could just take it with me. So yes, at Jumbo Hart. What were we talking about?
Wide receivers, depth. Besides, like Braxton Berrios, do you think
Dorsett? If people want to jump down my throat, he's the only guy that caught touchdown passes in the postseason and all that. That's great. But I know when they seemed like they were trying to lean on him and take him to the next level last September, and what happened? Nothing.
He had to trade for Josh Gordon.
Exactly. So is he fine as a complimentary fourth option?
I'm there. Like, I don't think he should be any more than a number three.
The higher he goes on the depth chart, I think the less valuable he is.
Who are you missing that position? Berrios?
I'm intrigued by Berrios.
Me too, just because we don't really know what we have.
And I thought he looked better in the little flashes we saw last summer than some of those other guys, the TJ, whichever was 1 year, an undrafted rookie. They've had these guys. No offense, but the little white slot receiver that blah, blah, blah.
TJ?
I thought it was a TJ, but maybe not.
Riley McCarron?
Maybe Riley McCarron. I thought there was a TJ along the way.
I don't remember.
Okay, so one of those guys. I think he's looked better than most. He has a better resume than most of those guys.
Right.
And this is a guy that went to the University of Miami, produced at the University of Miami. Even before that, he had some, I forgot exact, he would go to camps with other elite receivers. He would run 40. Like, this is not a diamond in the rough slot receiver converted Julian Edelman type.
Yep.
This is a guy who was a legitimate athlete coming out of high school, going to Miami. So I'm intrigued to just see what he can be. Now, the problem is, what if Edelman, Berrios, and Dorsett are your top three receivers?
Well, then you have a problem, and that's why you need
you have three tiny
slot
receivers.
Need N'Keal Harry to sort of
yeah. But what if he
that.
Isn't?
But you drafted him in the first round, like he.
So this is like the father who takes the kid to the top of the mountain and says,
look,
"Learn how to ski."
Look,
go.
I'm not saying it's ideal, but that's what you're left
swim.
With right now.
You just throw him in the water and
that's
see if he
you're
can
left
swim.
With. That's
well, what.
What
if he drowns?
Then you're in trouble.
Okay,
but that's what happened when
took
you
a negative
when you
turn.
When you went this offseason not investing much into the receiver position.
Okay.
They were in on a lot of guys, but they just didn't want to pay them.
Well, that was weird, too, because they were in on slot guys. So
right.
My little theory about what if Edelman, well, it could have been the same. What if Edelman
right.
and Humphreys are your best
well,
receivers?
Well, we're going down a different path, but let's just say that they signed Adam Humphreys. Would Edelman be getting this contract extension?
Yes. Because they weren't
so?
Getting rid of him. I think all along, if you were going to offer those guys money, at some point Edelman was getting a bump.
Right.
Because I can tell you for a fact, they care about the locker room hierarchy and paychecks. They always have and always will. Whether it was back to Gronkowski and Hernandez, they do things in certain orders and have certain tiers by design because they think it matters. So, you know, X will never be paid more. We had a revelation recently where former cornerback for the Falcons. This is where Paul Perillo would help me out.
God, we're not on the same wavelengths yet.
Okay, whatever. A big name corner from the Falcons. We never knew. It was never reported. Visited the Patriots and was very close to signing with the Patriots a decade ago.
Okay.
But he wanted X number of dollars, and they said, we just gave Randy Moss 3 years, $27 million.
You can't do that.
We're not going above that. And that was the fall down point. There was a line in the sand they weren't going to cross because of those reasons, and they do that a lot. So I think there was going to be an Edelman bump no matter what, and there should be, quite frankly.
For sure.
I was the one who, before they gave him the bump, I thought he should hold out if they weren't going to give him money.
I mean, he would never
You're
do
the
that.
Only, he would never, because that's not who he is and how he fits
right.
with them.
But
he's their only receiver. Ask for the moon.
And well, his base salary was what? Less than $2 million this year?
Yeah, it was like, something ridiculous. His cap number was like five or something. It was
right.
no money, and they were offering all these guys $9 and $10 million
right.
a year who can't hold his jock as slot receivers.
No.
Now, they may. Maybe they were hoping they were getting the next in line in that position
right.
and sort of buying for the future, not for the present. I think he was always getting a contract. But I think every ball in the air is worth watching, especially when it comes from Brady. But even if it doesn't, just how they run their routes. Because they're going against a pretty good secondary. I think the strength of this team could be its secondary.
That sort of brings me to the next. Let's transition over.
Let's advance this podcast.
To defense.
Do we take breaks now?
No breaks. Straight through. Sorry.
Do we get food and drinks
nope.
or anything?
That's maybe.
My old podcast, we should get food, drinks, breaks. I'm just
Your
saying.
Old podcast used to be 2 hours. This will not be 2 hours.
I hope not. I'm going to get home soon.
defense.
New job. I'm working less.
I know it's a passing camp, so to speak.
Sure, you want to run the ball?
Well, there's no I'm
interior.
Saying, there's no pads.
Get a hat
no,
on a hat.
But like, what are some things on defense are we looking for?
Certainly, the edge of the defensive line. This is a question I probably should know the answer to as a so-called Patriots expert.
Yep.
Are we going to see Michael Bennett?
I thought the same thing the other day. Like he doesn't
do OTAs.
No, he doesn't do. He goes to Hawaii.
Yeah, he lives in Hawaii, and
doesn't
I think it's funny
them.
How like. Feels like that used to be a thing the Patriots wouldn't do.
Right, but now
acquire
it's like,
a guy who doesn't, quote, do OTAs.
Right.
Now it's okay because Brady doesn't do OTAs, Gronk doesn't do OTAs, Bennett doesn't do OTAs.
I think the expectation is he's going to be there.
Okay, so there's a story. What if he isn't?
Then
we redid his contract, we gave him money, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, I'm sure they knew this going into it, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they went in eyes wide open, but what they are accepting of
right.
these days as they are in maybe the back nine of the dynasty and Belichick and Brady
yep.
and formulating a roster, but... No, the defensive line, Dietrich Wise is dinged up, so you won't see him out there.
Right.
Michael Bennett may or may not be there. I am of the belief that maybe we'll get the year three jump from Derek Rivers and that maybe he could fill the void.
That would be nice. They would like that. They need
I made
that.
A bold prediction when Trey Flowers signed with the Lions that I think Derek Rivers could replicate some of his production in terms of being maybe a six to eight sacks
Ooh,
guy.
8 sacks.
I really like him. I'm going to be honest.
Seems
like a very nice
guy.
Boy. I've had some nice conversations with him. I'm kind of rooting for him. You know, we started with some negativity talking about
positive
the receiver.
Now, yeah.
You want to go positive? I like Derek Rivers, and I think he was miscast on some level because tore his ACL his first year.
Yep.
Second year, coming off a torn ACL.
Expectations were a little high.
And he's a third-round pick out of Youngstown State.
Yeah.
Like, he was the top pick.
Sort of goes against
him. But he's the third-round pick out of Youngstown State. What is that even?
Right.
I mean, normally you wouldn't even bat an eye, but because of the situation he was drafted into and the injury, I think people expected more. But I'm looking for a year three jump. I'm going to be positive. I'm buying on Derek Rivers.
Well, Chase Winovich.
Chase Winovich, I'm buying on because I had an extensive conversation with Don Brown about him. And
his defensive coordinator at Michigan?
Yeah, he sold me on him and certainly believes.
Football guy, tough,
yeah,
long hair.
But even what he admitted to, he didn't think he could play on 2 feet and drop and cover at all. And he said he then went to their pro day after Winovich had been working on that.
Yep.
And he said he was stunned at how much better he had gotten at it and was already better than he thought he could be at it. So I think there's upside there. He thinks he's going to be an outside linebacker with the Patriots, sort of more of a stand-up guy.
I think so, too.
So, you know, he's going to be popular because of the long hair, big personality.
Right.
You know, I joked, is he Gronk-like? Because Don Brown said, you know, he would always wonder as soon as he'd have a sack or a tackle for a loss, oh boy, what's he going to do now to celebrate? And you don't see too many Patriots like that with big celebrations.
But Bill sort of has a sneaky, like, he likes that.
Yes, and he likes it if you're good.
Right.
Gronk can do whatever Gronk wants. Why? Because he's going to catch 10 touchdowns for you every year.
But Bill likes that emotion on defense after you make a big play.
Right.
Celebrate it. Get the unit going.
11, 12, somewhere in there where they're, like mid-year, he said, you're supposed to celebrate. You work hard all week. You make a play.
Right.
Enjoy it. It's an emotional game driven by energy. Yeah, and I think he could like Winovich. Four special teams guy, according to Brown. He'll hit the ground running. Just rabid style. I think fans are going to love him. I think teammates are going to love him. I think his reputation may outpace his production for a while because I think he's going to be so popular. But no, I'm intrigued to see what he can be. I think he's probably going to be asked to at least be a rotational guy on the edge.
For sure.
Give you some sort of playing time and help there. So he's an interesting guy. You know, a sneaky guy I'm interested in?
Who?
Because you'd think you sort of know him by now because he's been here a year and he played a pretty key role for a Super Bowl champion, that defense that was pretty good down the stretch.
Yep.
J.C. Jackson. You know, all these reports that the Patriots think he's actually better than Stephon Gilmore and all that. Well, let's see. Let's see if year two is a jump or if year two is a, back to reality or what year two can be for J.C. Jackson. Because if these rumblings are right and he's even in the ballpark of being competitive with Stephon Gilmore.
Right.
You're going to have a pretty damn good secondary.
Oh, for sure.
If you can have two corners who are, you know, 1 and 1A or whatever you want to call them, and then Jason McCourty is now in another role, and then you got your matchup guys and whoever it is, Dawkins and Williams.
Dawson.
Dawson. Yeah, I'm not sold
Dawkins.
On Dawson, by the
Neither
way.
You
want to go back negative?
Yeah.
Duke Dawson isn't on the team.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised.
He'll be with the team, but not on the team.
A little Foxborough flu.
Because he... I don't believe the Patriots have ever cut a second-round pick.
No, we were talking about this. I forget who I had this conversation with last week at OTAs. The cornerback position will probably come down to Keon Crossan or Duke Dawson, and it may be a case of Belichick not wanting to cut a second-round pick.
Or Duke Dawson goes on some list because something happened, and then next year he's cut.
Just because of the doesn't want to cut a guy.
Yeah, perception, reality, whatever. He'd never done it.
Because, I mean, last year, Dawson was supposed... He was activated off of IR for the last, whatever, 8 or 9 weeks of the season and never played a game. So you would seemingly think that the Patriots viewed Keon Crossan higher than Duke Dawson.
And I find it hard to believe that you can decide after a single year that Jacoby Brissett, Kevin O'Connell, guys like that, have no future with you.
Right.
But you can't decide with a cornerback because...
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
How do you know a quarterback can't make massive improvements after whatever? So I think they can make those assessments. And the fact that they've never cut a second-round pick, and certainly not a first-round pick, although there were rumblings that they were going to cut Brandon Merriweather. Remember that? Fred Smirlis back in the day.
He used
had
to
rumblings
here.
That they were going to cut Brandon Merriweather out of training camp as a first-round pick. Didn't happen, by the way.
Right.
Probably was just a rumor and bad nugget.
Yeah.
But no, I think defensively, looking at the secondary, looking at the edge of the front, looking at, here's where I go back to you because I was in Punta Cana. Juwan Bentley, have we seen him?
He was out there.
Okay, Juwan Bentley, I think, is in line to become a stud middle linebacker for this team, so anything I can see from him.
But another new linebacker.
What?
Jamie Collins.
Yeah.
You don't care?
Not really.
Why do you think they brought him back?
Because I think he's a good, experienced linebacker who has some versatility. Yeah. Do I count on him to be, you know, a 16-game starter? Nope.
Do you have him in as making the team?
Yes. I think
for
he
sure?
makes the team. Well, for sure. I mean, I don't exactly have 53 guys in the back of my mind. I've completely computed. And then you got the suspensions and the various things.
Yeah, yeah.
Guys make the team.
Right.
I also think, you know, as we get into that, and we're way, way too early, but as we start to formulate a roster, this could be a year where at the wide receiver position, everybody goes, like I said, Inman's got to make it. They need to keep somebody. No, Bill won't keep him. If Bill thinks he stinks, he'll cut him and then claim some receiver that the Chargers cut. Oh, he's not good. I'll cut him too, and I'll claim this. He's not just going to keep a body to fill out a depth chart.
Another 28 receiver transactions from
Maybe.
August to October.
Or the exact opposite. Everything went hellaciously bad a year ago, right? It was an absolute
disaster at the position.
Do you swear on these at all?
You can.
I don't want to. I didn't want to force it, but I almost said SHIT show.
Yep.
It was a shit show at the
position. It was.
So what if it goes the other way? What if just the law of averages works out and Inman just clicks with Brady and Thomas recovers way faster than you ever thought?
And Maurice Harris is great.
And Harry is the second coming of Mitchell with good knees.
Right.
And you're like, whoa, they got five good receivers that all seem to fit with Brady, different roles.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that. But if it goes bad or it goes like last year, then I think there's a chance that he just keeps Edelman, Harry, you know,
one other more.
You know, Slater, and then bodies. Bring them in. Oh, you, I'll try you from San Diego.
Yep.
Oh, you were with Houston. There's definitely similarities. We'll see if you can slide in here, and they could go that route.
What about the coaching staff, all the coaching turnover? Do you think that's a story?
Yep.
You do?
How could it not be?
I've covered somewhere
in the range of 20 NFL training camps.
Ooh, more than me.
How many times have I gone out there and said, oh, yeah, the special teams coach, he's also the receivers coach? I can tell you.
None.
Seto. Now, I'm from the Dominican now. I go, Seto.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seto, punta, Seto. Zero.
So, besides that, I think all these coaches have been in the system. They sort of know what's going on.
Yeah, that doesn't mean it's all going to work.
But what? Belichick's
I've
still
been
there.
Around this building forever, right? I've filled in on shows. Blah, blah, blah. I've had a freaking 401k for years and blah, blah, blah. Email address with 9,000 emails in it that I've never checked. Does that guarantee I'm going to be a good employee and fit with everybody here? Nope.
But you've
I may clash with you tomorrow.
But these guys have been in the system for, they've worked their way up. They didn't just, he didn't hire them from, you know, the Vikings.
Who's Shane Waldron?
I don't know. Who's that?
He is the passing game coordinator for the Los Angeles Rams. You know where he started?
Where?
I played football with him at Tufts. But he worked his way up as the tight ends coach with the Patriots, was a football operations intern, was a coaching intern, eventually became the tight ends coach, and then was no longer the tight ends coach because it just didn't work. He moved on.
Okay.
So what's my point?
That you can't assume that
just because they ascend
out.
Through the system doesn't mean it's going to work. It works with McDaniels. It works with Flores. It works with Patricia. But there are the guys that wash out.
But
what if some of these guys are washouts, but
they're
in key
roles? But they're not
washouts.
They're young guys that are up and coming and have young, you
like
know,
Shane Waldron.
Sure.
Until he wasn't.
All right.
Right. You don't know they're washing out. You know the Peter principle?
That's a dated
What's the
example.
Peter principle?
I don't know. What is it?
You ascend to a level upon which you fail.
Okay.
I may try to prove that at this station. Who knows?
So you're of the mind that this is like...
So you don't think change brings about questions?
It's not change.
What?
It's not really change.
Oh, so Brendan Daly's coaching the defensive line and Brian Flores is calling the defensive plays?
Who's calling the plays?
That's my point.
Bill Belichick
no,
is calling,
he's not
the,
calling
plays.
The plays.
Who is?
When was the last time Bill Belichick called plays?
A long time ago.
2000. What was their record in 2000?
They sucked.
Okay. Case closed.
How many years ago was
Wapner?
That? Wapner. How many years ago was that?
19.
Right.
Or 20 or however.
He's been in this, I think.
Wait,
things.
So you don't think he's going to want to do his normal sideline overseeing of everything duties where he says, Joe Judge, hey, you want to kick it through or you want to blah, blah, blah. Instead, he's going to be all just focused on the defense, going to the sideline, looking at the pictures,
I think he's
going to
have
play.
Some help, but he's going to have more of a role.
I don't think he's calling plays.
Who is?
Well, we've talked about this off air. I'm going Gerard Mayo, which would seem to be a bit of a wild card selection based on the fact that everyone I've talked to, no one agrees with me.
Well, Here's something that I noticed at OTAs.
Observation warning.
He did seem to have, not necessarily, you're not calling plays, but he had sort of cards that seemed like the guy that might have known.
He wasn't running the scout team, though, right? Because I don't think my guy should be running the scout team if he's going to be running the real defense.
No, this was like an actual role.
Okay. So you think there's some foundation being laid for maybe him calling the plays?
I would think so.
Andy Hartwright again.
I would have more. I think he has a better chance of doing it than Brett Bielema.
I do, too. No one agrees with us.
But why?
Everybody is just anointing Bielema because he's been a head coach,
yeah,
he's a defensive guy, the longevity.
I don't really, he's a nice guy to have around, but he's not like a guy that's going to lead your defense.
Who's been in a Patriots defensive meeting room more?
Right, exactly. Gerard Mayo. And who's
called plays through his mouth, at least?
Right.
Like, he didn't make the call, but it came through his mouth for,
and there's also
eight
been
years?
Some presidents.
Precedents. What are you talking about? Trump, Obama,
with Belichick,
Bush.
when Mayo played, he basically said he's going to be a good coach one day.
Right. So, and by the way, it's also worked with other Patriots linebackers, correct? I believe there's one in Tennessee who whooped your ass last year.
I've heard of him.
Whooped you.
So that's something to watch, coaches.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can't really watch.
No, that's when we get into training camp and headsets and preseason games and all of that stuff. But you seem to be poo-pooing a coaching change that I think is a major, major issue to keep an eye on. When you have this much turnover.
But what issues would there present?
How many coaches on defense are back?
One. Steve Belichick.
One. Okay. And what does he coach? One position. And what does he coach? The most senior, experienced, probably could run itself position on the field.
But, all right.
Than quarterback.
Covington. He was basically the linebackers coach last year.
Was he?
Yes.
Was he?
Yes.
So Brian Flores didn't do anything.
He was the defensive coordinator.
Was he? He didn't have that title.
I believe
it said linebackers coach.
He called the plays.
Covington ran the linebackers last year. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, what about Bielema? Did he run the defensive line last year? Is that why Daly left?
No, but he was around more than... He was around. He was working with different groups.
I was around last year, too. That doesn't mean you want me coaching.
He was on the field working with different groups.
You have weak arguments here.
He was with the defensive line more than any other group. I think there was a plan in place for him to have a more expanded role this year.
Okay.
So
I have this belief, anytime you have change or things can go either way, you open up the door for failure with that change.
But what's failure?
The guy doesn't click with the players. He's not teaching the proper techniques. He's an offensive line coach.
What examples do you have?
Guglielmo, didn't work, and you then have to go lure Dante out of retirement.
But where did he come from? Not from within.
No.
Right. All these guys have come from within.
So you poo-poo every counterexample I give you. Shane Waldron came from within,
but it
didn't work.
I'm
and this hurts
recent.
Me, by the way, because I love Shane Waldron, and he's ascended to a nice role.
I wish him well. All the best.
He's also next in line to sort of join the coaching tree of maybe getting a job because of where he works.
All the best.
Okay? Because he's on the McVay bandwagon.
Coaching. Right, okay.
So, but there has been examples of guys coming in from the outside, didn't work.
Right.
Joel Collier. You don't even know who that is, but he did. Secondary's
take
coach.
Your word for
His
it.
Father had worked with Bill, and he was like a legacy, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
Didn't work. You know, and is not being renewed, not brought back with the team. Or Shane Waldron comes up from within. Didn't really work. It happens. And you have the opportunity for it to happen at wide receiver, defensive line, linebacker, cornerbacks. I'll give you a minor little example. What position did why am I drawing a blank on the guy who's coaching
Paul's
the corners?
Paul's not here anymore.
The guy who's coaching the corner.
Pellegrino.
What position did he say he was coaching during interviews with the media?
What did he say, like the front seven, something like that?
No, defensive backs.
Oh, defensive backs, yes.
He's not really. He's coaching the cornerbacks because I'm pretty sure Steve Belichick is still
around at
the big man
coach.
On the totem pole in terms of safety. Like little things, maybe they don't know exactly their roles, their whatever.
Maybe they're just afraid to say things.
Well, certainly, if you're that afraid, you shouldn't say the wrong thing then. Wrong thing, bad thing.
Right. Okay.
General rule. Okay.
So what does that have to do with anything?
There's too much change that for you to just say, no problem.
Well,
I think it's going to derail them? Absolutely not.
I talked to an established player in the team, Daron Harmon, and I asked for, are we making a big deal about it?
And
went
you're
going to
tell
minute.
Me he didn't say the sky was falling?
No, he didn't.
That's weird. I really would have thought a Patriot would say,
he's an honest guy. Put it this way.
No chance.
He was very adamant.
Don't be naive.
He was adamant that this wasn't that big of a deal.
Right. Just like the used car salesman's adamant with you that this is a good car with the best price you can get.
This is where Mr. Negative's coming out in you.
Mr. Just open-minded and looking at things in an objective
manner. I'm not a positive guy by heart, but
seem to think that there's no problem or no chance of a problem that they've changed their entire defensive coaching staff.
I don't think there's no chance.
And they have a special teams coach coaching wide receivers. Oh, by the way, which position has the most turnover on the roster?
Wide receiver.
And receiver.
I preface this by saying that wide receiver would be the one thing that I would think is an issue with having a new coach.
But not defense.
No.
Okay. Perfect.
Because of the guy.
Because their defense is always dominant. It's always good early in the year,
you
right?
You just told me 20 minutes ago that this defense has a chance to be very, very good.
In the back end. Okay. I have concerns about the front end.
All right. We'll have to save that for the next.
How long is this? I've heard these podcasts are supposed to be 20 to 40 minutes. How long have we been going?
We're at 40 minutes, right at 40 minutes. Perfect.
Right, wrap it up.
Perfect. We're wrapping this up.
Okay, so we're going to minicamp.
Minicamp Tuesday through Thursday. Blogging. We'll probably
observing.
You will
have some
columns.
Good columns, whatever it may be. You'll be ripping
videos.
Brady.
Maybe.
Oh, you're going to rip Brady?
Probably not.
I didn't think so.
I don't think there's anything to rip yet.
Yet. So you're a scoreboard guy. When he's completing 48% of his passes in September, maybe you should have shown
up
in May.
I'm not one of these guys that's going to be charting all of his passes in OTAs.
No, go to Jeff Howe if you want that.
I don't do that.
We
don't do that.
You're
good.
Damn right we
do. Glad we're on the same page.
Perfect.
But so we'll be having all that. We'll probably have a mini camp post-podcast-ish type thing.
When's that?
Yeah, next week probably.
Okay, good.
After the last OTA session is
we
a week from today.
We could probably time that with like an on-air shift so I could do it right after. Perfect.
Be in
That'd
the building, be
nice. Two bird, one stone.
I can make that happen for you.
Okay, perfect.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
This is Andy Hart.
Looking forward to beating you up in future debates and winning just like I did this entire podcast.
Download the WEI podcast on iTunes.
Subscribe, especially if you're in Europe. You can get my beautiful voice that way. Subscribe, and I will send out the links. But be sure to follow at Jumbo Hart, and you can continue to follow me.
Yes.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks a lot. Till next time.